Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to the Sum of Us. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. It's been a week.
It has been. It's been strange. I've been thrown off by not having
right?
a show.
I know. It's so crazy. Oh, my goodness. Talk about a healing journey.
Mm.
Oof. That's what's going on. And again, I don't really know the astrological aspects. I just know it's a very powerful, I think, full moon?
Yeah.
I think is happening. Yep. And just from the little bit that I gleaned, it's, again, really not so much about manifestation, but about claiming your voice and your power. So thematically, it's really been a continuation of what we've been talking about the last several weeks. It's been a deep time, and this Mercury retrograde has been no joke, just with everything. So glad that's, I think that's phasing out in a couple of days. I think the 25th is the last day. And then I've never paid attention to, like, it's a shadow period 2 weeks before, shadow period after. Then every day is freaking Mercury retrograde. Then every day. Just put it 365. Come on. Unbelievable. So how has your week been since we last spoke?
Wow.
I feel forever.
It has been a long time. I've already traveled. I'm just kidding. I haven't. But
You went to Spain and Greece, and you're on the boat as we speak.
Yeah. I'm actually in the TSA line. It's taking longer than I thought.
You got to do a pre-check.
Pre-check. I should. But
you don't have that?
No.
I've had it for, and I don't travel that much. I just get so much anxiety with freaking all that security. I've had it for years. Oh, I love it.
Well, a lot of times because usually when I'm traveling, it is with my parents.
Oh, so you kind of have that anyway because of the wheelchair. Probably.
Yeah, we usually always get at least one. And then my dad is like, no, I don't need it. My really dad, just freaking take it. Just take it, you know.
Yeah, you kind of get a similar
benefit.
I think those are different lane for security.
But I do think,
maybe that's,
I don't have to think about that because now there are so many people doing the wheelchairs that they usually don't have enough.
It's like a brigade. Yes, you see.
They don't have enough people to help with that. So
right, look into it. I think it's worth. You travel way more than I do. I think it's worth. And my kids always give me. I'm like, I'll see you on the other side of the line. Bye. Like when it's the three of us traveling, I'm like, go with your brother, and then I go like, you know, the deluded, you know, special person, deluded. On the pre-check line, it's so worth it. Yeah. And it's like every 5 years I renewed mine. I think last year, and I never give it a second thought. I love it.
Okay.
You can even, it's easier now because back when I first did it, which maybe was about 10 years ago or over 10 years ago, you had to go in person and get fingerprinted and all. I think you could do it all like on your phone. There's an app.
Wow. Yeah.
I think it's a lot easier than when I did it initially. And now the technology, this is like all this science fiction stuff is now real fiction or science truth. Forget science fiction. It's science truth where all the technology is going to be developed where it could be all through your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get my passport through my eyes. Like, let me get a pre-check TSA to go to the tunnels of heaven because this, I can't. Let me get a pre-check TSA for that. You know when I was done with technology? Was before technology. I know you will likely remember this, but now like IVF, in vitro fertilization, it's so common. It's like mainstream science.
Mm-hmm.
But many, many years, I don't remember the year, but many, many years ago when they were developing that technology in the lab for IVF. And they, I'm sure you remember this. They used to call IVF test tube babies, test tube baby, right?
Yep.
And they cloned a sheep named, see, I remember the sheep's name, Dolly.
Dolly.
Why do I remember? Yep. Okay. Okay, so when was that? The 90s, maybe? I don't remember. It's a long time ago.
I think
90s. Yeah, I let's say early 90s just for the sake of you not going to Google it. Let's just say that. And I remember when they talked about cloning Dolly, because it was successful cloning of the sheep, which assisted in all this technology, I said, I'm done. Because my brain was like, but you can't clone the soul, or can you?
Right.
Like, I was stuck with that moral question or esoterically moral question. I don't even know how to categorize that. And I'm like, I'm done. And that was before the phone. That was before, maybe, I don't even know if it was before, it could have been the early days of internet, maybe pre-internet. I was done when I heard about Dolly the sheep.
Yeah.
So, and that's primitive compared to all the shit that's happening today. So now that I look at my eyeball and say, okay, you can go. Keep your shoes on. Oh, okay, thank you. What the hell? I've been done. It's crazy.
Wow.
Mm. But yeah, pre-check. Also, I also say pre-check TSA is a good thing.
Well, since we last chatted, I have, well, we'll go kind of in reverse. Last night I attended my first Passover Seder in a long time. I'm pretty sure I did another one, but it's just been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was really fun.
Nice.
It makes me, you know, all the ceremony, we had to read parts and the symbolism in the food and the appetizers. I mean, there's all this, you know, there's the whole story. And I remember it was reminding me of the old book of Bible stories that my grandmother gave me. And mind you, my grandmother was Jehovah's Witness. So this was a Jehovah's Witness book, illustrated book of Bible stories that I loved because the illustrations were really nice. It was well done. And I didn't even think about it being a Jehovah's Witness thing.
No.
Because it came from my grandmother who never...
You trusted source.
Yeah, I trusted that source too. She never made me feel awkward. She never made it a big deal. She doesn't try to convert anybody.
Oh, that's
nice. She just shared what she had, and that was a book. I don't even know. I'm sure it might be in my mom's house somewhere, perhaps. But but yeah, that's like a standard. So I remember as I was reading through some of the things last night, I'm like, I had visuals of, you know, Moses parting the water. I remember that. So that was really special. And then also a couple of days before that, over the weekend, my work was to safely transport a group of probably high school seniors to their prom.
Oh, you were the prom driver. Oh,
I was
my
the prom
God.
Driver.
I can't even imagine. Were you like, can you want to put a shawl on top of that? I can't even imagine what they're wearing for prom.
They were actually.
I'm not talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were fine, but
were
that's just making
really
me think about, you know, you see pictures of like, what do you think? I'm sure they were proper young ladies and gentlemen. Crazy.
But I remember getting that request from the one of the parents, and I was like, well, like, it's starting a little later than, you know, it's not like an overlap. Like, I got to pick them up at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock. You know, they were doing dinner in another part of town. They live out in the suburbs, and their event was Midtown, Atlanta.
Nice.
And I said, okay, well, and I didn't like say, oh, it's only going to be so many hours. I'm like, I have no idea how long it's going to take.
Yeah, you don't really do it.
But I put a cap, and for me to get to where they were. So I figured it all out. It was fine. It was fine. And I just added a lot of extra things. I said, I sent all of this to the mother requesting it because she got my name from somebody who had been on the tour prior.
They said she is a responsible. She's good with the kids. That's a reflection on your, you know, everything about you for a parent to entrust their kids with you.
Yeah. So I was
nice.
I was happy to get that. I'm like, okay, well, I'll make. It's not like, some random person. I heard you have a party bus.
It was a stripper pole. Hello.
But the thing is, I definitely take that very seriously. Serious because it's anybody. But these are now, I'm assuming some of them might have been under the age of 17. 17, 18. But still, they're in high school, and I know they're attending
in high school.
Like a dance, basically. But I was just like, okay. So it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it here. No alcohol, no drugs.
Of course, you have to.
There's a waiver that they need to sign. I need to know who's getting on the bus. I need to know the names ahead of time. Those are things I don't normally have to worry about because I'm like,
But when you're under 18.
I want to know that the number of people and the people who said that they're going to be on this bus are going to come back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very well behaved.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, well, this is fine. And I'm sure, they had their own plans afterwards. I think the dance.
Listen, none of your business.
Yeah, I know. After the dance ended by 11, but they were ready, to head out by 10:30 and get back to their side of town and then do, I'm sure, their after prom.
Well, they can do whatever they want as long as you have nothing to do with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So
they'll be up to things. Prom things.
So they really lucked out. It was a gorgeous day on Saturday here, and then in the evening it was fine. And then near the end of the night, after I dropped them off, it started to rain. So I was like,
look at that.
I'm glad that we were done with all that, because parking midtown downtown Atlanta. These kids were so cute. Some of them gave me my tip money ahead of time, like when they first met me.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, thanks. And honestly,
the customers, you tip before, you tip after.
And then the rest of them tipped me afterwards. It was really funny.
That's cute. But
some of that went towards paying for my parking for, the two and a half hours or whatever. And I hung out. I hung out in the parking lot. I looked around, I could get out, but no, there's just no reason for me to be wandering the streets. There's enough entertainment happening.
Well, or you'll be the entertainment.
You're right.
Hello.
Yeah. I was glad to have done that. I would love it to be that simple for any of these events. I just have to be I want it to be a safe environment for me as well as for them.
Of course, everybody.
So I'd be open for that, because that was fairly easy.
See, that's good. See, it's supposed to be easy. That's easy income.
Yeah.
That's easy abundance.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to solicit it. It came to you.
Yes, which I love.
So you manifested that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best advertisement is word of mouth. So you just don't know. I'm sure you made a great impression on the parents, the kids, for your part of your responsibility. They were safe, that's great. But you did that.
Yeah. I got a text from the mother saying, thanks for getting the kids, to and from safely.
Yep.
They said they were really impressed with the van and with you. I'm like, oh.
See? That's good. And you impressed, you know, that's a tough, listen, the children, they don't lie. They're the toughest crowd out there because they don't hold back. So that's really, really, really great. So that's wonderful. That's like a nice surprise gig for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then mostly I've been doing a lot of work around the house. We, our front, you know, you've been to our house, like our front,
I love
your house. Our front area is a little unkempt because we have a lot of
stuff. It's just a landing area. It's a landing area.
It's just been landing for like, since we moved in. So
my whole apartment is a landing area.
You know, now we have, it's not an HOA, thank God, because we never joined that. We've never joined
HOA. Oh, that's
HOA
good. Because those people must be very, like, it could be kind of petty, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, but to be honest, we needed a kick in the butt to get some things straightened out. And
oh,
to
did they say
at
something?
Not they, the HOA, but the county does have, you know, some guidelines. So if they receive a complaint, they have to check it out. And by this time, like she's still in Hawaii. She comes back, I think, tomorrow.
Good for her.
But, you know, and Amy had, is kind of healing because she got into a car accident. She got rear-ended.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Just before Anna left, a couple days before that.
Oh, no.
I got on April Fool's Day, actually.
She
got rear-ended, and so she's been dealing with just, you know, really having to change how she lives her life right now because
a lot of
her work is very physical. It's her being present. It's her, you know, and she really can't. She doesn't need to be straining herself. She doesn't need to put herself in any
or
worse situation.
Things.
Right. Right.
Or,
so
that's interesting. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So like all the things that she would normally help out with, like with the psychic fair, all the prep work. You start to see like, wow, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes.
She does a lot. She does. And she is a worker bee. She does. That.
Yeah.
That's her occupational therapy. It's hard for her to be still. This is forcing her to be still.
Exactly.
And if I recall, because this is just what's coming in, this is quite a few years ago. I think she had a work-related accident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of interesting where there's a pattern interrupt. You know, in the last show, you know, we were talking about like where we are healing and growing and changing. A lot of times I have to play it out through the physical, you play it out through the mental. Mm. So, but it's the same thing, you know, it's literally so parallel. And I'm not mad, and I get it, at an external kick in the ass, where that's where it serves the purpose, where a citation or notice or whatever. So when you say somebody filed a complaint, does that mean like somebody in the area filed a complaint with the county?
Yeah.
But you have no idea
you're never going to know. But I'm like, I'm not surprised.
I wonder if it's the neighbor with the tree, like from the one that was like bitching about the cats and stuff.
I don't know. Probably not. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But by this point, by the time the county officer came by.
Oh, wow.
Anna was already gone. And well, yeah, that's how they give you the citation. But so he knocks on the door, and it's just me and Amy, and he's asking, he's like, hey, so, you know, how many people live here? And we're like, three. He's looking at the, all right, so since you visited us. Anna has just, she has a truck. She has.
Right, which is a big old thing. Mm-hmm.
Right, which there's an issue with driving it a lot because she basically has to get a new engine. So,
oh no.
She doesn't really drive it very often, if she does at all. In fact, she doesn't, because she bought another car. She bought a Toyota.
She did?
She did.
Oh.
A Toyota Camry, which she loves. And that's because we were looking at cars on her birthday, and she test drove one of them and really liked it. I think got not from that place, but from another place closer to our house, like 2 days later, got her car. Didn't trade in her any car just because she loves her truck. She wants to keep that too. But then also in the interim had purchased a car for her son.
Oh,
you
right.
know, with the plans for him to get it as for his birthday in back in March. And
right.
That would be a car he would tinker with and he could work on. But things did not work out with the agreement of bringing it and him having it
with
and
the baby mama.
All of that. Right. So.
Oh, she's such. That's for her son. Oh, that's as a mother.
Well,
that makes
I think
me crazy.
There was the issue, I guess, with insurance, which Anna said, you know, she was helping with that, but I think in that state, I don't know, because the car could be a sport, like a racing car. I don't know. It was going to have an impact on other people's insurance. So I'm like, all right, well, I don't know how that works. But whatever the case
got complicated. Oh,
one
no.
person in our house has three cars in the driveway. And then
oh,
I have
no.
a car, and Amy
oh,
has a
no.
car.
And there's five cars. There's five
there's,
vehicles?
There's five vehicles in the driveway.
Oh, my goodness. And that's not like a huge space, if I recall.
No, it's in fact, the driveway itself narrows at some point. So we have to park it at an angle or at a different angle, a few of the cars. I mean, two of them we don't really drive.
oh no! So I can see what it looks like on the outside, like
yeah.
what's going on in this house.
And in Georgia law, you can't have, like, unless they're all related, you can't have like all kinds of people living in your house. There's like a number of, you can't have more than I don't know. I can't remember how, but it
what?
Is. But then they're like that. Yeah, it's a weird law.
That's crazy.
So I'm like, yeah, I co-own the house with my cousin. This is my cousin's girlfriend. So he's like, oh, no, that's
mm-hmm.
fine. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess you could have 100 cars, but they can't be on the grass. And, yeah, so we still have to kind of fix that. We have until, like, I think tomorrow. Or something like that, or Thursday, to fix everything.
But Amy is laid up, and Anna's in Hawaii, and then we got you and, like, 100 cats and a dog.
Right, so...
Oh, my God.
We've been... And all the stuff, like, he's like, and, you know, you got to fix up the... fix this front area. We had some plastic tarps up to protect the screen printing machine, which he saw. I said, you know, we can take
yes.
that down, but this is why it's up. He's like, okay, I understand that. So, but... A lot of it is just stuff that Anna has a lot. Most of it's Anna stuff.
It's big stuff too. It's like heavy equipment. Like it's
yeah,
big stuff.
And he's not asking us to move the printing press, but the whole area just looks a little, it's like, you know, outdoors.
It's an homage to Sanford and Son.
Right. I mean, that is obviously
right.
the theme music that tends to play in my mind.
So,
we have, Amy and I have kind of gone through what we can, and we've, like, you think logistically, oh, we'll just move this. Where are you going to move it to? Oh, it should go in the basement. Well, the basement needs to be cleaned out too, because my brother still has stuff down there.
Right.
You know, it's like
God.
Moving a lot of stuff. We burned, a bag of stuff. Amy had been going down there and going through their old stuff, like stuff she thinks, okay, they don't need it, but it probably needs to be burned, and not just because it's like old paperwork. So we burned a big bag of that stuff last week, which felt really good.
Yeah.
But then
really good,
there's some
sure.
things that need to go into the storage shed, which is in the back, which also needed to be, like, stuff needed to be
cleared
checked Yeah. So we did.
Things
over the
need
last
to be cleared
days,
out.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
So, and then the lawn needs to get cut, which I've cut the front lawn once, and I knew we'd have to cut it again because of it's springtime and it's been raining a lot. The backyard I've cut partially, but like we got to get the weed whacker out because it's like the weeds are so high. But it's all stuff that I don't normally do, because between
no.
Anna and Amy, they're like, oh no, we love to do that. I'm like, that's more power to you. But
yes, I see them in action. It's a little crazy. I'm not gonna lie, it's good crazy, but
right,
it's a little crazy.
Right.
I mean, she's there on like on the not a tractor, the lawnmower, whatever it is. But yeah. And with her boots, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, so Anna's gone. Amy has to really watch her physical activity.
Yeah, she can't. She can't really.
You're like a deer in the headlights. Like,
Well, years ago, I used to have to do a lot of this stuff, you know, from time to time. And it was 2 days ago, I vacuumed most of that, not all the house, but I vacuumed the main areas. It was looking fuzzy. We have cats.
Right. Yes.
Like
these things take time.
That just takes time. I mean, that was just vacuuming. Mm-hmm. That wasn't like mopping floors or, you know, major dusting, none of that. It's just,
Amy would be like, consistently always cleaning the house. So.
Right. So, I've always appreciated that. And I've had to do it when I lived in the house, and I didn't like that it was just assumed that,
right.
In fact, that may be why I had the dream this morning about, my brother would always basically say, oh, well, you know, mom and dad are coming. You need to get the house ready for them. Because usually he wasn't here.
How convenient.
And I would be like,
ew.
Okay, so
like you're his wife. Ew.
So, I mean, he wouldn't think about things because he's a guy, and I'm sure now that
mm-hmm.
he's married, you know, I've seen him step two and take action. I'm sure his wife is like, look.
Yeah, she's like, come on.
I'll do my part, but they're your parents. You need to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no idea
yeah.
what their situation's like, but
So
you know, it's like inside the house, outside the house. So I think at some point today, I will mow the lawn, and we're gonna try to organize a little bit more. Like we've done a lot.
That's good.
I just don't like think ethic. Anna comes back, and after flying, I don't think you really want to do a lot of yard work. So
no,
I
she's
get that
be
too.
Like, wow. So is there like a fines or penalties or like what? How does?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there'll be something that happens, and it could be pretty pricey. I mean, there's no reason to not comply and get it in order.
But what about the cars?
Oh, the cars. I mean, we can just, that's just, they're not saying you can't park it that way. They're just saying they can't, none of the tires can be on the grass.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. That's like the easiest part.
Oh, that's good.
It's just, we just have to angle, we have to just do some slight, you know, adjustments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But it's. And the guy was really good about it. He's like, I get it. You know, he was there handing out citations that day, apparently. And he's like, I saw a guy with his lawn, and you can't have grass over or weeds, whatever's in your lawn over 12 inches high. And he's like,
right.
The guy said he just cut his grass 4 days before. And it was, he was getting a citation for how bad the grass has gotten. That was 4 days ago. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that you can – around this time of year, you're doing a lot more yard work because
right.
it just grows that fast here. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's been good. It's been good for me to be a little more active and to see what's there, because some of it isn't my stuff, but no one else is going to go through it. Like, I went through some stuff with – my brother, my oldest brother, had left some stuff. For some reason, it was in the very back corner of the shed.
Oh, look at that.
That's like old pictures from when he lived in San Francisco. And
wow.
So some of them I'll keep because they're good pictures of him. But then a lot of it, I'm like, all right, we're just going to have to burn these. You know, we're just going to have to let them go.
Yeah, look at this with the full moon. This is crazy. This is the timing is really kind of perfect for all of this stuff that you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I had the time. I'm like, this week is going to be busy. This weekend's going to be busy. I'm preparing for some tours on Saturday. And I have most of that under control. I have one more thing to take care of. And then I'm driving to Columbia and probably spending the night there Sunday night. So
with your aunt again?
Yes. Yeah, we've scheduled.
Nice.
I'm going to just double check with the
That's
family.
Beautiful.
Trying to do everything we can. And the plan then for Sunday is to have lunch with my aunt instead of us just sitting there watching her eat.
Yeah, bring the food. Yeah, bring the
We're
going to
bring the food.
Like
so,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the plan. And I think just, you know, just checking in and making sure our timing is good. And I'll just plan to stay overnight. I think that'll be easier than trying to rush back.
Yeah,
and it gives me time to spend with my cousin and my cousin-in-law. So that's fine, too. So there's things to do this week. But I think it's been really good to look through some old things and really, like, okay, just kind of let that go. Like, whatever's in there, like, we just leave it for, like, oh, another time. I'm like, no, we just have to decide.
No, as if time is now. Clear things. Yeah, this is a huge transformation. Again, it's not about manifestation. It's about claiming your power. Mm. It's about advocating for yourself. I was at a gathering to honor the memory of a friend there was a bunch of us that we all had in common. I think I had mentioned the story that when on a Monday I was having a conversation with this guy that I was on the first and last date with, and just looking at him, and I'm like, oh my God, his jawline and his eyes, he's making me think of this person. And then 2 days later I get an email that this guy passed away. So it's crazy. I think they had found that the police had found him deceased in his apartment. So that's, he had some underlying health issues and, you know, what have you. But I believe we were very close years and years and years ago. And I really feel it was his way of communicating with me. So that was, maybe that was about 6 weeks ago, whatever. So the memorial gathering was this past Sunday, and one of the people there, we didn't really have a falling out, but I created distance because I felt a couple years ago that I was sort of set up by he and his girlfriend for misunderstanding with the project. And I was, because thank goodness I am so intuitive, I was ahead of it. I was ahead of the situation in the friendship, but I rose above it. And lucky for them, I rose above it. And that took place over 2 years ago, right before my mother's passing. Their timing was horrendous. But whatever. So I see this person at this memorial gathering, and everything is very positive and loving. This is a gathering of people that we've known each other for many, many, many years. And lately we get together when there's a memorial service.
Right.
Or what have you. And we're talking. And just it came out of my mouth, and I just said, I just want to, you know, because we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, we're cool, everything. So I said, yeah, you're my family. It's all good, whatever, whatever. It's fine. I said, but I do need to say this. And I said, I have to tell you, I kind of felt ambushed by you guys. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe that I said it. I actually expressed my feelings about something. And we had a very civil conversation. There was no apologies warranted or needed.
Mm-hmm.
It was about into this grace and the space to express myself. And then he said, yeah, I think that there really should have been, there was a lack of communication. And I said, you're absolutely right, there was.
Mm-hmm.
And I owned that part of it. There was.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
okay.
Yeah, but
wow.
My mother was dying, I was losing my freaking mind. And
right.
your guy's timing was horrendous. And we ended with a beautiful hug. You know, it was great. Nobody was mad at anybody.
Mm.
But that was, you know, and to anybody else, okay, that wasn't a big deal, whatever, whatever. But for me, it was, because I just, you know, keep my mouth shut and keep it moving.
Right.
You know, and go through everything on my own. And I didn't ask for anything. I didn't want anything. But for me, I needed to express myself.
Right.
So that's the whole point of just stepping into the shift of consciousness. It really is a massive healing journey. It's been going on since the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for a minute, but it's coming to the light now with all these. And again, I'm not an astrology person, but I just can really pick up on the energies. And when I look them up from trusted sources, it all makes perfect sense. And one of the things that I scrolled through, just this little statement about healing, which really resonated with me, like, healing isn't about a cure. It's about going so deep, deep, deep within. And that's what we're doing. We are going down to the core.
Mm.
And it's about time. Because how the hell are we supposed to live the rest of our life? Like, it's exhausting to always be so hypervigilant, to always be, you know, walking through the minefield of, you know, are we going to create a disturbance? Who's looking out for us? Nobody. So we got to look out for, they're not supposed to. We have to look out for us. And then things line up.
Mm.
And we need to trust life. And we need to trust ourselves. All of this is about, I think, unless there's somebody who needs us in the queue, I think you should pull a message.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Let me get it loaded. Well, that's good that you guys are taking care of things. And time for Anna to come back. How long was she gone?
She'll be gone for 2 weeks. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, fine. Good for her. Okay. It's up and loaded.
All right.
Hey. Okay. The number, wow. Okay, the number associated with this message is 330.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the message. Celebrate the accomplishment of getting out of your comfort zone and embrace a community of like-minded people.
Hey.
Like this show! And that's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, to get out, because you could be in the comfort zone of really sort of being all things to all people and being in service, which we can do a lot of spiritual bypassing, meaning
right.
a lot of self-abandonment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the opposite, where we're no longer self-abandoning, and we're getting evidence of that by trusting life, and that everything, and this is a tough one, everything that's going on, what's meant for you will be for you.
Right.
So even the bullshit with, you know, the house or the estrangement of your whatever, everything is there for a reason. Your life is the path, and it's not for us to evaluate how good we feel about that challenge or that obstacle or that illusion of those things. It's the path.
Yeah.
It's the ebb and flow of life. I'll read it again. Celebrate the accomplishment of getting out of your comfort zone and embrace a community of like-minded people. 330. And that's what it is. It's like, we're not here to convince, to sell, to manipulate, to browbeat. No. Either be in alignment with ourselves or in alignment with like-minded people where we see seen, value, and heard, a.k.a. feeling safe. And if not, we'll just keep it moving. That's it. We're going to be very selective about what energies we surround ourselves in. That's it. Because if we feel safer on our own, so be it. Anyway, 330.
Well, we do know that that equals a 6, which is about community and family. Well, really community, however you view that, usually has to do with a sense of familiar and an appreciation for something resembling family, even if it's not your exact family. And the threes, the two threes, yeah, I see you. It's Juno meowing at me. The two threes are dealing with the creative and the expressive, and also the way it I'm feeling is like it brings out the best within yourself and with others, like on the high side. That's how that three can be used. Is I feel like when you're making and creating a community, whether you realize it or not, a lot of it comes from this lighthearted exchange, playfulness. You know, the ideas that come together, and there's no form to it necessarily. There's not like an agenda. It's just like, oh, we just happen to be getting together, and amazing things happen. This is a beautiful way to create and then recognize your community, like your tribe or your people, and then to think of other ways to cultivate that, to keep it moving and to keep it expanding. And that's where that zero comes in, which is it's God and it's everything. It's our source, which has no agenda, right? It just is. And what is it that you want to create, which is the three. What is it that you want to create? And when you have a lot of sometimes we say like-minded individuals, and sometimes it's not about having the same mind. It just means that you're in a really good flow with what's at hand. And everyone brings something to the table, and it ends up being something amazing that you co-create. And it wasn't like somebody had this idea and they had to, you know, have a heavy hand in creating all of it. It has to be this way. It's
right.
Like, no. It is a true collaboration and an enjoyment of the source and the materials at hand, and in that lightness of being, you're like, what about this? You see all these different possibilities, and there's not like a bottom line to it. It's just, well, this is just fun, and look what else comes when we do this, and look about, you know, how about this, and that openness to just to truly like dream and imagine and try things out. Without a fear of failure or letting somebody down. It's like, oh, you tried it. Okay. How about this way? You know, then someone else is contributing. This is really how we grow. And when we're growing without not bypassing anything, because you're going to figure stuff out, but it doesn't always have to be so heavy. Right.
Right.
To appreciate a lot of times we just don't even recognize that we just did that. We play it down like, that's just us, you know, goofing off. Like, yeah, but look what happened. Look how you feel. Not even what you made. Mm-hmm. Look how you feel coming out of that. No one had to get destroyed. There doesn't have to be a winner or a loser necessarily. You know, there's so many different contrasts that we don't have to deal with or because of the absence of what we're normally seeing as contrast, we still can still grow. So there's still other ways, of very loving ways of appreciating where you are and in the community you've built. So yeah, that is a nice
like this show.
Yeah,
it's really about the show. It's a show message. It's a show message about the show.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
In your opinion.
Or the opinion of the messages. Love that. That's,
yeah.
You know, it's good to have the space to clear the clutter of whatever the hell's going on.
Well, yeah. I saw pictures of my oldest brother.
Wow.
From, I don't even know. I mean, it's been, I guess, since it's been over 20-something years when I saw him. There were pictures of him, like, with his, you know, his trademark, you know, long hair, the, you know, Fu Manchu, you know, the goatee and all that. But then there are pictures of him, I guess, when he was working a corporate job, because he couldn't have that look. He had short hair, you know, clean shaven. He looked 12, right? But I'm like, because I thought, oh, is this him in high school? But no, it's not him in high school, because he's, you know, it's, but he looks like that. And I saved some of those pictures.
That's beautiful. He really like walked away from conventional society, like the family unit, corporate.
Yeah.
I never knew that he had a corporate job. What did he do?
He worked for like Lucent. I mean, he has a degree in electrical engineering from Georgia Tech.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's really interesting. Like, it just adds to the layers of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, poor thing, you know, like there's compassion there. And that's the whole thing too, about like the space of compassion,
mm-hmm.
where can really soften so much. Compassion for the self, compassion for others, and then we are witnesses. I'm always so relieved, humbled, and grateful where I'm, you know, finding myself more and more living in the eye of the storm and being very attuned to the surrounding chaos and being so relieved, like, oh, my God, thank God I have a reprieve, because more often in times in my life, I've been the crisis or the chaos. And it's amazing to really just be in that oasis of being in the eye of the storm and being a witness. And then, of course, being a source of support for those that may need it. And what really broke my heart is I have a dear, dear friend of mine who I've known for almost 30 years, because we met at a bereavement group for infant loss. That's how we became friends, and we've been very close ever since. And she and I have been, we're always very close, but she and I have been talking for a year where her marriage has been falling apart, and so many parallels or dynamics, rather, more dynamics with my marriage falling apart. Except when her daughter passed, or in the aftermath of that, she never went back to work. I was like working like the whole time practically, or just hustling or whatever, because my ex-husband situation wasn't stable.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, emotionally very, very parallel. But the marriage had been falling apart slowly over time, but really coming to a head within the last year. And we'd have these conversations, like many women in her position, where they're thinking about Am I going to leave? Am I going to stay? I'm like, either way, you're screwed. You know what I say to anybody in this position? If you stay, you're screwed. If you leave, you're screwed. Which degree of being screwed is less? Either way, it's a nightmare. Fast forward, so I'm like, you open up a bank account in your name, a different bank, you don't tell them about it, you research media, like I'm telling her all the things.
Right.
And the thing is, it was very simple for me in some aspects because I didn't ask for anything. I just needed to get the hell out.
Right.
It's more complicated when there's money and assets involved, and it could get very contentious. So her situation in some aspects more complicated. It got diagnosed, and he's on the very early age. He's very young for the spectrum of this, but got diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
And she doesn't know that I do this podcast. She doesn't know, but like I'm the go-to person for the advice and the guidance and the plan and blah, 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 with like so many people that don't know I do this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that they were going to get like the an evaluation or whatever. This is before it became evident that there was a diagnosis. And when she texted me to say what the diagnosis was, I called her. And the first thing out of my mouth was, I'm not going to judge you if you decide to stay. You're not going to be judged. Because I knew she was going to stay. And this is why I told her over a year ago that I needed to make sure that if I was going to leave this marriage, that I was going to do it before my ex-husband, while my ex-husband was still 64 years old. There's like a 9-year age difference between us.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do this because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole that abandoning him at his time of need.
Right.
And I knew it. And I did it. And thank goodness he's very healthy. He's, you know, he's whatever, whatever. But I just knew. And we had been married for a very long time as my friend. And I also knew because of, although raised Catholic, there's still, okay, because the theme of the show is about trusting life, just really trusting how your life is rolling out and trusting in abundance and believing in abundance as I do, no matter what things look like. But a lot of people, most people, they can only deal with the surface and then they freak out and then they live in fear. So now she's staying. And I said, you need to, and she had been for decades. So I remember she was emasculating him during the bereavement group. And everybody thought I was a single mother because I was always doing stuff by myself. My whole marriage, it was actually time, you know, when I got divorced, a lot of people didn't even know anything because I was always like lone wolf. But I could see during decades ago at the bereavement group how she was emasculating him. She expected him to be a mind reader. So, of course, you know, almost 30 years later, of course the marriage is going to be broken and irreparable. And I said, what you need to do if you are staying, you need to replace your fear and you need to shift from resentment to compassion. Otherwise, why are you staying? Because guilt is such a waste of time. And he'll get his wife back. She's like, no, he won't. I said, yes, he will, because he will take the crumbs because the dynamic between the two of you is so toxic that if you can be, and they've been in separate rooms for all this time, if you can be there to support your friend, and he's still very high functioning, you don't worry about money, you live your life, you shift from resentment to compassion, You move from fear to faith, and you trust life. And you don't think twice about money. It will be, because I got money, but all the people have money because they don't have money. Hello, talk to me. It makes me crazy. I said it would be, you'd be in more fear if you were to leave the marriage and you guys would be at war about money. Because I feel psychically he has some money. Not that he's hiding money, but there's hidden money. There's a difference. There's hidden money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's money. But people's definition of that can be very different depending on their circumstances. Because if she's going to stay and be miserable, what's the point? If she's going to stay and let her guilt win, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go on vacation with your daughter, the money is there. And if any, I didn't say this to her, and I don't know if I'm going to say this to her, but if it was me, I would set up an arrangement like, okay, the marriage has been so toxic. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to leave you in your time of need. But this is how things are going to go, because I was preparing to leave your ass. I'm going to stay. So you're not going to question what I'm spending. You're not going to. I will be here. I will be your advocate. She's a former RN, so she knows the medical landscape. And you know what's so crazy, and this terrifies me about conventional medicine, thank God I'm taking care of myself through acupuncture, that they were trying to push this experimental drug to maybe curtail Alzheimer's symptoms by 25%. It's really 5%. And her brother's a pharmacist, so they did all this research because they're getting kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies. To me, it's no different than the opioid crisis. They were trying to get him on a drug that there's no verifiable proof that he has clinically. And they're still thinking, what makes me crazy, conventional people, they're going for a second opinion. Meanwhile, it would be a flat-out no to me. She already did her research. She used to be a nurse, her brother's a pharmacist. Why are you going to go for a second opinion? I know I'm judging, but to me, it makes me and if you didn't have her as an advocate, because she is a tough customer, she's very tough, she's that pain in the ass that you don't want to walk into your store, okay? She's that person. And she justifies everything by saying, I just tell people how I feel. And that's her MO.
Okay.
That's her loophole. That's how I feel. And the recipient, it never feels right to the recipient. So she completely emasculated her husband from day one, because I noticed it when we weren't even friends, from day one. So almost 30 years later, that's cumulative. Now he has this diagnosis. And here we are. Does feeling miserable make you feel alive, or you're going to work something out? You're going to learn to love yourself and love your life. You got whatever is there. You're not being punished. It's to show you how to walk through it gracefully to get to the other side and your ascension. This is our safe space for this show. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm talking about, that's most of the world. Thriving in their guilt, shame, and misery. No, no, ma'am. No, thank you. I'm so grateful for this show. That's why we pulled that message.
Mm.
We are so fortunate. It doesn't matter the things we have to do. It doesn't matter the contrast. It doesn't matter what we're witness to. It doesn't matter the deep healing that we're finally allowing ourselves to do. It doesn't matter. There's such clarity and purpose. And grace. I can't drink that mainstream Kool-Aid. I'm so grateful for this show and how it serves us and how we serve others. So on that note, isn't that crazy though? It's so sad. So the point is, trust life. What's meant for you is for you. And live in the eye of the storm no matter what's going on. Because that's transcendent to form. It's not denial. If anything, it's embracing what's there. And to quote the wonderful Matt Kahn, whatever arises, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. So if any of you guys need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please trust life and take excellent care of yourself and each other. Excuse me. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye-bye.
That you like.